Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Well, in this episode, we're doing a live pod. Everyone loves the energy. Jay Chandrasekhar's on here. You know him from, oh God, Super Troopers and all the movies. All the movies he's done. He's also, I guess, directing Joe Coy's new ones. We'll talk to him about that. We got Rotten Tomatoes as well. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Sea Legs in Huntington Beach, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from Super Troopers, Jay Chandrasekhar. With Gina Grad on news, Vault Bryan on sound effects, and rounds of the Rotten Tomatoes game, and Adam Carolla is unprepared, and now, so fresh from his Bill Maher taping, he still smells like weed and irrational hatred of children. Adam Carolla!
Yeah, get it on, man. Got to get it on. A choice you got a mandate, get on. Thanks for coming out, you guys. Oh, man, I just did Bill Maher's show after a decade. It's kind of weird. Like, the last time I did real time, can you hear me? Oh, hotter? All right, we'll heat it up. We'll see. Dawson will heat it up, or somebody will heat it up. You got me? Is it hotter? Hey, my tree people back there. Can you guys hear me okay? Cheap fucks. I'm going to save $11 and have a laugh. It's all right. We'll see you in hell. You never get anywhere.
Use this one.
Oh, use this one. Sorry. All right. There we go. Dawson's threading the needle. All right, so I was talking to the tree people back there. But you guys are fine. Look, I appreciate you guys coming out. We have a good show planned for you. I was doing real time with Bill Maher, like I said. It's been a decade, I think, since I did that show. So what happened, if you just want to know the truth, is...
I used to do politically incorrect all the time, like every 3 weeks or something like that. And then I did real time, and then I hadn't done it in over a decade. And then I was like, what the fuck? And, you know, I'm not that into my career. I'm really not. Like, I don't really care. I just show up. I do what I do. Go home. Have a good time. Fine. But when I was talking to Bill Maher, it's like, you know, I haven't done your show in over a decade. And he's like, yeah, why not? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's HBO. HBO is totally woke now, and they don't want me on their network. But Bill, to give him credit, reverb, Bill was like, fuck that. I'm going to bat for you. So he went in and talked to the HBO brass, and they got me back on. Now, yes. Now, the way the show goes is they give you topics. They give you topics on Wednesday. You know, the show tapes on a Friday, and they give you topics on Wednesday. And they go, here's what we're going to talk about on Friday. So you have a couple of days to prepare your shit and your thoughts and your ideas as to what you may be talking about on Friday. But then when I was driving in, and they gave me the topics, and I prepared dutifully, but when I was driving in, they send you a car. When I was driving in, I got a note, which is, we're doing something different tonight. So I had about an hour and a half to prepare whatever we were doing tonight, and they came up with the two subjects, the two lead subjects. One of them was, I wrote it down. Let me see if I can figure this out. Oh, one of them is the Biden administration wants to cut off menthol cigarettes to black people. Well, actually, they just want to cut off menthol cigarettes. I did the black people math. I mean, Whitey doesn't smoke. No, we got mouthwash. We don't need cigarettes. We like regular cigarettes, but the brothers like stuff with flavor in it. So they were going to make menthol cigarettes illegal, and they were going to cut off menthol cigarettes, and presumably that was going to affect black people, but it wasn't going to affect them in a negative way because smoking is bad for you. And then I started thinking about it. So now I'm in the SUV, and I'm driving in to do the show, and I'm trying to come up with angles. So I want you guys to, you know, get a little glimpse behind the curtain, which is like, I got to come up with angles for this shit. Like, why would they cut it off? What's the joke? What's the angle? And so I started thinking, all right, they want to cut off menthol cigarettes. And the reason they want to cut off menthol cigarettes is because the majority of people who smoke menthol cigarettes are black, and 88% of blacks vote Democrat. So they want to keep these people alive. That's your base. If they don't get the black vote, they don't get in next year. So they don't want these people fucking dying of lung cancer. They want to keep them alive. So you keep them alive. So here's how the process works mentally. I was like, all right, so they want to keep black people alive so they can vote for them in the next election. All right, that's an angle. We'll run with that angle. It's statistically pretty true, right? So it's literally like 90% of the black populace votes Democrat. So they're going to cut off the menthols. They'll keep them alive. They'll vote for them. But then I thought, what is the next logical extension to that kind of thinking? And the next logical extension is, why don't we kill white people with cigarettes? So then I thought, they should be handing out cartons of Marlboros to white people to kill them and cut off the menthols to the blacks to keep them alive for the vote and the base. And then I started thinking about something I remember from many years ago, which is Marlboro miles. Marlboro miles is when you would collect miles for how many Marlboro cigarette packs you would smoke, and then you could redeem those packs for things smokers would never do. It was like kayaks and pup tents and camping stoves and lanterns. All the chain smokers I know aren't big spelunkers. They don't go to El Capitan. They sit fucking at home in their mom's basement. They smoke, but some reason they're like, oh, you can get a kayak and a paddleboard. So then I started thinking, and this is all just in the back of the town car on the way to do Bill Maher's show. I was like, oh, wait a minute. What if they started a new thing and they'd call it Mega Miles? So this is... Anyone who votes for Trump can redeem Marlboro cigarettes for Mega Miles. You go to 3 Trump rallies, you get a carton of Marlboro cigarettes, you die before the next election. So this whole fucking thing worked out in the back of the car. Like, oh yeah, Mega Miles, oh that's good. Menthol, yeah, kill the black voters. Yeah, and then I was like, I had this whole fucking thing worked out. And then I got to my dressing room, and they're like, we're not doing that whole menthol thing. It's now, Bill wants to do something about the elections in Pennsylvania. I was like, I didn't work anything out for that. So they give you the topics, you work them out in advance, and then at the end they tell you, we're not going with any of those topics. We're going with something new. But let me see what else I wrote down here. Oh, okay. They also said we're going to go with the Sports Illustrated models. Oh, yeah. I had many thoughts about those heifers gracing the pages. Here's the thing about Sports Illustrated. Ladies, you aspire to get into one of those bikinis to be on Sports Illustrated. We don't want no fat asses in there. And I was like thinking about us in the car, like, oh, what if we did a car show? We just did a car show, and we just did a car show, and we went, yeah, it's a 78 Vega. Got an AMC Matador over there with just 89,000 miles on it. It's not a fucking car show. You want Ferraris and Lamborghinis. So I worked that comedy out. We never got to that subject. I think what else I wrote down here. Oh, we did do the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing. So my angle, I don't have any poop bed jokes. I will tell you, I got a 110-pound lab named Phil. He takes a dump in the bed, you'll know it. There's not any, no controversy there. Like he takes a dump in your bed, you're gonna have to burn the bed, maybe move. My dog shits in your bed, you have to move. But my take on that Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial is, I don't really care what's going on inside the courthouse. My concern is what's going on outside of the courthouse. Who the fuck are these people? You guys all went to work today, right? Like, could you imagine going, oh, I'm going to bedazzle a piece of cardboard and go down to the courthouse for 7 hours. You know... Every one of these motherfuckers is on disability. Or they said to their boss, like, I can't come in and do data entry. My back's hurting me too much. You're fucking standing outside in the sun with a cardboard sign over their head that says Team Johnny on it. Fuck these lazy, untaxpaying motherfuckers. Get the fuck to work. Get to work. This is my plan. They're all fucking deadbeat dads and welfare moms. They're all bilking the system. This is what I want to do in L.A. I want to put a big sign out front of the Coliseum that said cockfights. free for Raiders fans only. And then every fucker that came into the Coliseum, we would just arrest. They're all criminals. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's see. We have Gina Grad here tonight. We got Bald Brian here tonight. We should get those two poised and ready. Let me see what else I wrote down. So, look, it's been a long day. Went in, did Bill Maher's show at CBS, and then we made the pilgrimage out here, which was about an hour and a half. Thank God Mike August was driving because he had his hand on the stick shift the entire time. Although it's not a stick shift, it's automatic. So Mike's grabbing automatic gears the whole time, which makes little to no sense. I will say, one quick thing. One of the things we're going to get into was this Buffalo shooting. Very sad. Very sad. But my take on it was a little bit different than the, you know, we're living in a systemically racist society and Tucker Carlson is telling everyone to go out and kill. All right, couple things. Tucker Carlson is responsible for this shit. All right, let's just do the math. Tucker Carlson gets 3 million viewers a night. We live in a fucking country with 330 million people in it. He gets 1% of the populace to watch his show every night. Do you think he really has dominion over everyone in this fucking society? He has 1%. Like, I love Tucker. His show's popular. But he gets 3 million viewers a night. We have 330 million people in this country. How the fuck is he going to control everybody with 1%? Do you think Hitler could have pulled that off? Hey, we're going to burn all the Jews. 1% of people agree with me. I don't think he's going to be able to pull that shit off. But my angle is this. I do this thing all the time. It's like, why don't we have more gun control? We need more gun control. And then why don't we control the internet? Because, you know, these people are weaponized on the internet. And they see all this shit on the internet. All right. I saw Biden's speech. Biden talked about, you know, gun control. He talked about the internet. He talked about a world filled with hate. And we're all haters and all that other bullshit. You know what he never brought up? Parents. Who the fuck are the parents of these people? I don't care if you're the white supremacist who's shooting up the supermarket in Buffalo, or you're the kid in South Central, or you're the kid in the streets of Chicago. Where the fuck are your parents? Don't you have parents? We're always talking about gun control. You guys know we have 330 million people in this country. You know how many guns we have in this country? 393 million. So we have more guns than we have people. So good fucking luck controlling the gun aspect of this argument. How about we do some fucking parenting for a change? All right, I'll get off my high horse. We'll bring out Gina Grad and Bald Brian out here. Jay, you're coming out. Good. Sorry. I don't even know where my seat is, but...
How you doing, pal?
I'm good. Good to see you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
Jay, you directed the new Joe Coy movie that's coming out?
I did. It's called, it's called Easter Sunday. Coming out August 5th, of course. But, we just got caught in that whole pandemic. But anyway, I'll tell you something interesting. The Easter Sunday is the only wide-release comedy of the entire summer.
That's impossible, really?
August 5th, the only one. The movie business has largely given up on theatrical comedies, but we're bringing it back.
Hell yeah.
Oh, so They're all Top Gun and all the big blockbuster tentpole action, whatever, but they've given up on comedies.
Well, I think, you know, I think the streaming thing got to them and they got worried, but we're going to turn it all around. August 5th.
Fuck yeah. August 5th. Yeah.
Let's talk about you, Jay.
Okay. Love to.
You were in college, right? You started a sort of improv comedy troupe.
Yeah. I was an actor in high school and college, and I was like looking at, like, you know, as I was graduating college, I was looking at like the movie screens and the TV screens, and there were no Indians on there, right? Like the only ones.
Good,
that,
yeah. We call those
good old days.
The good old days.
We call them the salad days.
Simpler times when America was great.
All right, I know this show. Yeah. So the only
Hold on,
guy,
Jay, I never watched, like when I was a kid, I didn't watch Smokey and the Bandit go, where are the guys from Sri Lanka?
Where are the Indians? Where are the fucking Indians?
I never thought that.
Well, when they did want an Indian, they put a Jewish guy in brown face, and they're like, go do it, right?
That's right.
So I was looking at that, I'm like, wow.
F-Troop did that. That was American Indian.
Yeah, well.
Right. Didn't Short Circuit do that?
Short Circuit did that, yeah.
Oh, good pull.
And my dad saw Short Circuit, too, and he said to me, he goes, you have to see Short Circuit. And I was like, he said, there's an Indian in it. And I'm like, Dad, that's not a real Indian. He goes, well, it's as close as we'll get.
Yeah. And I'm like,
no.
Who was that, Brian?
Fisher Stevens. Yeah.
You know what Fisher Stevens.
You know what Fisher Stevens' real name is?
Huh.
Steven Fisher.
Is it really?
No. Are you shitting me? Get the fuck out of here. I like Fisher Stevens. Here's the reason I like Fisher Stevens. He was married to Michelle Pfeiffer.
That white gold.
Right?
Yeah.
He's Fisher Stevens. He's a nebbish, weird little guy with a big schnoz. And he's married to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Easy, buddy. I know you're in Orange County, but die the
nebbish schnob. Schnoz. All right. He's not, he's not a Dolph Lundgren.
Indeed.
Fair.
All right. And he's married to Michelle Pfeiffer, the most beautiful blonde on the planet. He cheats on her.
It's a power move.
That's how men are wired. That's the beauty of men. He married her. He probably thought, oh, my God, I'll never do better than this. And then he cheats on her.
Didn't Stephen Hawking do the same thing?
That's right.
Yeah.
And Stephen Jenkins.
That's right.
Third Eye Blind, look it up.
We'd
Seriously, he was with Charlize Theron.
Sorry, Jay. So your dad says in what accent?
Well, it's an Indian accent, Adam.
I want to hear it.
Well, it's as close as we'll get. And I said, no, Dad. And so I decided to start my own comedy group, and I started this group that became Broken Lizard. And then we were writing sketches and shooting sort of short films, and I was like, the only way I'm going to get in those screens is if I write my own scripts. And then I'm like, I better learn how to direct them, too, so I can cast myself. And that's what I did. And now, you know, I've been in, like, 9 movies. I tricked it. I tricked the system.
How did
Good for you.
What college were you at?
Colgate, upstate New York.
Oh, Colgate, right. And so everyone else in Broken Lizard, was it?
They all went to Colgate, yeah.
Right. And so was Super Troopers first?
We made a film called Puddle Cruiser, which we shot at Colgate. And then Super Troopers was the second movie we made.
And was that, I don't know, brag about that film. What did it cost, $1 million?
It cost $1,200,000. And it, you know, it made the Fox Corporation over $110 million.
It's a good return.
They kept every last penny of it, almost. I mean, yeah.
So you didn't see a lot of that.
No, I didn't have an accounting degree. I was a bad kind of Indian, wrong kind of Indian. You know.
What's your family do?
My dad was a lung disease doctor, and my mom was a radiologist.
Shit.
Oh, that's how they met, right?
They met in America. What happened was my dad was number one in his medical school class, and the next year my mom was number one. They both met in Chicago, and within like a week of meeting, my dad knocked my mom up.
Uh-huh.
So they called my dad's mother up, and my dad said, hey, my mom's now 6 months pregnant. And my dad says, hey, I'm thinking about marrying this girl. And my grandmother's like, no, you're not. I will tell you who you're going to marry. And
was it arranged? then?
No, they met and they fucked.
She
right?
would have so, preferred that.
It would have been.
So then my mom, my dad hangs up. He goes, I don't know what to do. And so my mom calls my grandmother back, and she's like, I think we're really going to get married. And my grandmother offers her $10,000 in rubies and diamonds to walk away.
Wow.
And so my mom's like, I'm pregnant. And my grandmother was on the next flight over and then moved here and took care of us.
Many years ago, didn't we attend a graduation for our kids of like preemie school or something like K?
It was like that school where they're like two and they just crawl around and lick each other sort of.
Right. So we went to the same place. So here's my thing as far as kids go. If you don't know you're participating in whatever ceremony you're participating in, we don't need to have the ceremony.
Thank you.
You fucking don't know. Our kids were two or three. Yeah. They were graduating from God knows fucking what, but they had no idea what was going on.
Only one parent needed to be there.
Right. But you were there, right?
I was there.
And I was there.
Yeah.
And it's really just it's a whole ruse, which is like, if you're the parent who doesn't want to be there because you have a fucking job, they're like, oh, you've turned your back on this thing that your kid will never remember? It's weird because all the graduations and all the accolades and all, they don't remember, but molestation, they always remember. That
sticks with you.
That sticks with them. That's a keeper. So you're in Colgate.
I didn't molest anybody, Adam. I didn't.
No,
nobody.
I know, but that's...
Nobody.
At graduation?
At graduation, yeah, but I mean, beyond that.
It's part of the graduation.
All molesters say that, though, Jay.
Right, well.
They always say it.
We're all the same, aren't we? Yeah.
So where'd you grow up?
Chicago, suburbs.
And then Colgate's in
upstate New York.
How'd you get from there to there?
Well, I was a really cocky person, and so I had a B+ average, and I applied to. I'm going to give you the Indian accent again. I applied to like Harvard and Yale and Stanford and Princeton, and my dad was looking at the list, and he goes, why would they want a junky B+ Indian when they have all these good A+ Indians to choose from?
It's a good question.
Well, he was right. I didn't get into any of those schools. I got into Colgate, but, you know.
Colgate's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I had a nephew who went to Crest.
Well done.
I don't know anything. Colgate's good because everyone's heard of it, but no one really knows if it's good or bad or prestigious.
Yeah.
And what was your... Did you have a major?
I was a history major.
And what was the plan?
I was going to, I was pre-med for a semester, but I got a C- in organic chemistry, but because it met at 8 a.m. 5 days a week, and I'm like, it didn't fit my schedule, so they said, retake it or you're out of the medical program, so I was out, and then I'm like, well, maybe I'll go to law school if the whole Hollywood thing doesn't turn out.
How'd the whole,
Joe Coy.
How did the Joe Coy thing come about?
Joe Coy, during the pandemic, Steven Spielberg was home watching, like clicking through Netflix.
I don't know that name.
Okay.
I'll look it up. You can Google that. I got computer over there.
I got nothing.
You know what
nothing.
His real name is?
No.
Spielberg Steven.
God damn it.
Oh.
So Steven Spielberg was clicking through Netflix, saw Joe Coy's special, and said, let's make a movie with that guy.
Wow.
And so they called him in, they had a script, and then they called me and they said, can you go up to Vancouver and kind of, you know, do your thing?
And, you know, we know Joe.
It turned out well. It really did. It turned out well.
Well, we know Joe well, so, but was he a delight to work with?
Yeah.
Oh, tell us he was a fucking piece of shit.
No,
he was.
He was incredible. I mean, he'd never acted in a movie before, so there was a lot of, like, you know, do this, don't do that, say it like this, you know. But he really is a pretty natural, charismatic guy. So he did well. He did well.
Well, I got to say, you know, modestly, you know, I've done stand-up and I've done sitcoms and I've done
movies
and a bunch of other shit. But, like, acting for movies is probably the easiest in the sense that you get to try it again and you don't have the live audience and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you don't get to capture anything per se. Like, it's like, it's easy to do in real time, but it doesn't mean it's going to transfer or translate into the big screen.
No, but I mean, ultimately, that's why you have to have a good script and you have to have a good director and you have to get lucky. That's
right.
All that.
Well, they got the good director, well, right? You know. All right, should we? We gonna do the Rotten Tomatoes game, and I know Jay has thoughts about that as well.
I do.
But we got Dawson back there. There he is.
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it. Dawson names are flicks, and the game makes their picks. Guessing if it's rotten or fresh. If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
That's it. Wow.
Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
Well, all right. Here we are at the beach. And if everybody had an ocean across the USA, then no doubt everyone would be surfing like California. So let's visit some movies that take place on Earth's sandy shores or out on the deep blue sea in today's Rotten Tomatoes game. What does our first movie and California have in common? They both had to close their beaches. But this movie had a pretty good reason why. Roy Scheider desperately tries to keep the oceanside town of Amity safe from a terrorizing shark. With Richard Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw, directed by then 26-year-old Spielberg Stevens.
Yeah.
From 1975, Jaws.
He was 26 when he did that
That's
movie.
Crazy. It really makes you feel bad about yourself, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. What the fuck? What were you doing? Well, you did Super Troopers at what?
I was 28.
Okay.
A little behind.
Slacker.
So what was everyone doing at 26, Gina?
I was starving in New York, running away from the Twin Towers. Wah, wah.
Wow,
what
that's
were you
no
doing,
fun,
Brian.
I was screening calls for the city radio show in the morning in L.A.
God, when I was 26, I had an apartment with I had a one bedroom with three roommates, shared a futon with another man,
hot.
Working construction, driving a pickup truck. Like, I couldn't imagine directing Jaws, but all right. So he's directing Jaws, and you know Jaws is great because it's delayed gratification.
Yeah,
it's like they took so long before we ever even saw the shark, and we always want to see the monster, but really it's the foreplay, it's the delayed gratification. Then when you did see it,
you come.
It meant yeah, that's right. You busted
that's
a
right.
nut.
I think it kills, spoiler alert, two people before you even see the damn thing.
Yeah, you don't even see it. All right, chill. Jay, you want to go first?
So I have to guess what the critics' score was?
That's yes. right.
I'm going to guess that it was 62%.
Wow,
fresh.
Low.
Barely fresh.
Fucking nuts.
Fresh. Is that high or low?
That seems
low.
Exceedingly low. I'll go second because I'm not writing
anything
down.
I love the movie.
Yeah. I'm going to go 91.
I also went 91.
Wow.
This is a goddamn perfect movie. There's nothing wrong
it's
with
perfect.
It. I went with the rare 100.
Yeah.
No one's giving this a bad review. This is a masterpiece.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about when it came out,
yeah,
not
so
revised
as
reviews.
As am I.
All right.
Jaws is certified fresh at 98%.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, before Johnny Depp was cleaning Amber Heard's shit out of his bed.
Go on.
He went to battle against a different kind of black pearl. In this high seas swashbuckling adventure about
Johnny,
pirates.
Hold on, Dawson.
Yeah. Dawson, please.
I never got to.
It's children on this beach.
I didn't do it on Bill Maher's show. But I was thinking about it, which is, she was Aquaman's girlfriend.
Yeah.
He's Captain Jack, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Captain Jack Sparrow.
Do you think they met at sea?
Sort of. Yes.
Because that's all they really fucking do. There's a seventh Pirates coming out, right?
Yeah, they met on Rum Diary, which was very beach adjacent.
That's a dating website for alcoholics. Rum Diary is a website for alcoholic pirates who are looking for lasses.
Yes, wenches.
Your wenches, like, who met the Pirates of the Caribbean thing?
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dawson.
Also starring Orlando Bloom, Keira Knightley, and Geoffrey Rush, directed by Gore Verbinski, from 2003, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
Just for clarification, this is the first Pirates movie.
The first Pirates movie. This
great,
is fun.
Great film.
Yeah, really I agree. Fun.
Delivers.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with 62.
Jesus Christ.
Normally, when you make movies after a ride, like an amusement park ride, they're not that good. Like
indeed.
I remember seeing Zipper, the movie.
Tilt-a-whirl.
Boring as shit.
It was terrible.
It was terrible.
Terrible.
So, but this exceeded expectations.
Yeah.
This was a fun movie.
It's a really fun movie.
I think the audience liked that. I go 83.
I went 89.
89.
This movie exceeded expectations in every way. Johnny Depp nominated for an Oscar for this movie.
Really?
Best actor. Yeah, he was fucking tremendous. 91.
Oh,
wow.
Shit.
Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl is fresh at 80%.
Oh, surprise. Surprise.
Wow.
What do they want? What do they want out of this thing?
You won that?
What's that?
Did you say you won?
No,
what do you want?
What do they want?
Why 80? Why not higher? But yeah. I got to tell you, as a kid going to Disneyland, did you get a chance to go as a kid?
Yeah.
Well, you were far away, right?
Yeah, but we got on a plane.
You guys had a plane?
We got on a plane and flew out there.
Really? Yeah. When did you go to Disneyland?
You know, when I was a child, I don't really recall. Like, you know, it's like what you said about the preschool thing. I went, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't molested there, so he doesn't remember.
Getting into that toboggan and, like, with the moisture in the air, the yo-ho, yo-ho.
Yeah.
And it's like going, like, heading off, like.
It was incredible.
Kind of
The ride was great when you were a kid, but when you revisit it as an adult, you're like, they're really making a movie about this?
Yeah.
And then they made a great movie.
I know.
One.
Yeah. All right, sorry, Dawson.
All right, our next movie features two low-level insurance employees who discover their boss's corpse when they arrive at his beach house.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
So they spend the rest of the time trying to convince everyone he's still alive, only to attract a hitman back to finish his mission. From 1989, Weekend at Bernie's.
So is this a 99 or a 100?
101.
I don't know. Look, it became a cultural touch point.
It did.
Right?
It became like kind of a punchline. Everyone knows it. I've never seen the movie.
It was it was mocked. It was mocked when it came out.
Wasn't it Andrew McCarthy and Jonathan Silverman?
Yeah, Jonathan Silverman. Yeah. But it's funny how culture works because people are like, oh, Joe Biden, Weekend at Bernie's. Like, 40 years later, we're referencing this movie.
Like,
that nobody,
like Groundhog's Day. It has life beyond the movie.
Like, nobody liked it. Nobody saw it. But yet, it's a cultural touch point, right?
49%.
There we go.
I got to go lower. I got to go. I'm going 31.
Wow.
I'm going to snuggle up right in between you guys at 41.
I also said 41.
Wow.
I'm high, man.
Wow.
I think so.
Weekend at Bernie's is rotten.
Oh.
You're kidding.
At 54%.
Oh, all right.
Goddamn.
Well, look at you.
John, I have a bad taste in my mouth about Jonathan Silverman. I know many of you do as well. But when I did my very first Dodgers All-Star, you know, Stars Night, you know, baseball, whatever, Jonathan Silverman was the favorite of my skipper, the favorite of my manager. And I famously got into a huge argument with my manager that night, but or that day. But he was like, Jonathan Silverman, this guy's been here every year. This is 1997 or something like that. Do you ever play in those Dodger All-Star
celebrity games? Though. I'd like to.
Oh, it's fucking brutal. Oh. Well, Jonathan was a star, and the guy who was the skipper of the team knew him well, and he was like, that guy's starting at shortstop, and I was the new guy. I was like, I want to play too, and we got into a huge argument. It was a whole fucking shit show. But
didn't you tell the like president of CIA to go fuck himself?
I did, okay. But I didn't know. You know what you guys should all do before you die? Tell someone who hasn't been told to fuck off in 40 years to fuck themselves and see how they react. Because I had no fucking idea that this guy ran CAA. I thought he was like a third base coach from the Mudhens or whatever. I didn't know who this guy was. This little guy was the manager for my All-Star team. And he started Jonathan Silverman. And we had like 20 people. And, you know, baseball, I don't know what how many people... Cricket puts out on the
11.
There's nine. So I walk up to the coach before the game. You know, I'm a comedian, and I go, I just want you to know I don't platoon, which means I don't share time.
I start or nothing.
And he doesn't laugh, he just looks at me and he goes, sit down. So he's pissed. And I don't know who the fuck he is, but I realize I've sort of made it onto his shit side. And then during the game, he looks at me, like in the third inning. He's looking at me. He looks at the guy on my left. He looks at the guy on my right. And he goes, you go in center field. You go in second base. And then he would just look at me and turn around and leave. So I'm not playing the whole game. And then at a certain point, I decide to get into the game, and he decides I'm not in the game. Then we get into this huge fucking argument.
You ran out there with your mitt?
No. What happened was this Stephen Baldwin.
Sure.
What happened was it's like the fifth inning. They got the time up on the clock. The game's going to end in 11 minutes. And he's like, Baldwin, you're up to bat. And he already batted. And we're like, where's Baldwin? He's, you know, born again Christian. Maybe he's doing coke in the bathroom. I don't know where Baldwin is. It's like, Baldwin, where are you? You're batting again. I haven't played the whole fucking game. I'm never going to play. So I grab a bat, and I go, I'll hit. And I go up to the plate, and he goes, you, sit down.
Oh.
And I go, look, Baldwin's not here. No one's keeping score. Who the fuck cares? Like, I'm just batting. Corbin Burnson from... L.A. Law's pitching.
Cool guy. Like, he's a cool guy.
He's a good dude. Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to bat. He's like, no, sit down. So I'm standing at home plate, and I go, fuck you. And he goes, fuck. And so he does that thing. He's a guy who hasn't been told to fuck himself in 40 years. Right? He reacts like, what the fuck? I've never heard of such. Like saying to Kim Jong-un, like, hey, put a fucking cob of corn up your ass, you little fuck. Like, he's like, what? He couldn't even process it. He was like, what? I don't know who he is.
Right.
Right? He runs show business, but I don't know who he is.
Yeah, the king of show business.
He goes, why? He freaks out on me. I was a boxing coach 2 years earlier. Like, that was my life. I walked off a construction site in a boxing gym into Dodger Stadium. It's like I was a brand new celebrity. It's like, I'll fucking bury you, you little douche. I'll fucking put a hole in the side of your head with my fucking fist. And he was like 65 and this tall, you know? And he was like, what? He was like going nuts. And so we started getting into it. We got separated. I got traded to the other team.
Mid-game.
No one in the annals
who
of
did they get
Dodgers,
for you?
I just
released
the other team.
You
I
were released.
Exiled.
Released.
A bag of balls.
I was put on waivers
right.
And went to the other team, and that was it. And then I was on probation for the next, like, 4 years. I never got back. Jack Gilardi was the guy's name.
Oh, Jack.
Yes.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
He's in the front row. Now he's dead, thank God.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Bernie's. All right. Do we get our score, Dawson?
Yeah, this next movie.
Okay.
Stars Will Smith, Jack Black, Robert De Niro, Angelina Jolie, Martin Scorsese, and Renee Zellweger. To tell a tale about Will Smith saving his city from gangsters. And those gangsters happen to be sharks. And Will Smith happens to be a fish.
What?
Oh, some animated film?
Chris tells me this movie slaps. From 2004.
Shark Tale?
Shark Tale.
Never heard of it.
I saw Shark Tale.
Oh.
You saw it?
Yeah.
It's good?
I don't recall.
It's not a good sign.
I'm sorry I brought it up. It didn't really start with nowhere.
So whenever there's a whole bunch of A-listers in one movie and you can't remember it, it's always
generally
animated,
not good.
Right?
Generally.
Or animated,
yeah.
Right?
I'm going to go 77 anyway.
Oh, Brian, is this Pixar?
No, this is definitely not Pixar, but I have not seen this movie. DreamWorks.
DreamWorks?
You know, the Shrek people.
Okay.
Will right. Smith gets good reviews. Doesn't matter what he does.
He did.
All right.
That slap wasn't as good. But
that's right.
You know what I like about Will Smith? Smacking.
You like that?
Chris Rock.
No, Chris Rock. I know. But what I like is you guys don't know it. You're little people. I understand. No, it's not. But we got the tree people back there. We got the little people up here. Here's the beauty of life. Everyone is miserable. We're all miserable. Everyone. Will Smith is miserable. Everyone is miserable. Jada Pinkett is miserable. Everyone is miserable. You think, like, oh, they have all these money and riches and fame and acclaim. Everyone is miserable. That's the beauty of life. You should know that.
It's comforting.
Yeah,
it's a great equalizer.
Yeah.
Everyone's some of the haves and the have-nots. Forget about your fucking bank account. Everyone's miserable. That's all you need to know.
Welcome to our TED Talk.
That's right. You guys want to be miserable? Here are my 5 PowerPoints to how to be miserable. All right, Shark Tale, 78.
Whoa.
I went a little lower for no reason at 68.
Yeah, never heard of it. Sounds like a money grab. Barely fresh at 61.
Shark Tale's rotten at 35.
Oh.
Fucking A.
Look at that. It's a pretty close game, actually.
Wow.
Well, our last movie honors those who keep our beaches safe.
Oh, yeah.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Fuck yeah.
And a jacked up Zac Efron.
Yeah.
These two star as lifeguards in Florida who must take down a drug lord in an effort to save the beach. Duh. Also featuring Alexandra Daddario and David DeHasselhoff.
Fuck yeah.
Directed by Seth Gordon from 2017, Baywatch.
I don't even know where to begin. I don't know. Rotten Fresh.
Jay, were you in this?
No, I was just thinking, though, like, you know, everybody in that movie is basically a model. And they probably have, like, one, like, kind of chubby guy who's the comic. I wondered, like, would you, not that you're chubby, but would you take that role?
Yeah.
Like, right
take
now.
Chubby role.
This
Baywatch,
is
right
really
now.
Hurtful.
Chubby role. Sure.
Officer Dad Bod.
Worst thing you can order at a sushi joint is a chubby roll. Just spam rolled in Bacos. Yeah, I saw the movie. Not proud of it. I don't know why we needed it. But I will say, I did see Hasselhoff at the car show. I saw David Hasselhoff at the L.A. car show on preview night. Preview night's like you show up Thursday, you get in there before the general pop gets in there. You get to hobnob with the notables, and you know there's not a big line around the Ferrari bin. And I looked way down, and I was like, that guy looks like Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
But then I thought, he looks too much like Hasselhoff to be Hasselhoff. He must be a Hasselhoff impersonator, because his shirt was undone to his navel, and he had a members-only jacket on. And he was, like, carrying one of those orange life preserver things, you know. And I realized it was Hasselhoff. Uh-huh. And then I realized, does he dresses like Hasselhoff
right.
to be recognized as Hasselhoff.
Right.
It's not ironic. That's his life. His appeal, I think the appeal to Hasselhoff is he does things that we think are ironic, but he's serious about them.
Yes.
Like when he sings, he thinks he's singing.
Yeah.
Right.
But we are laughing at his singing, but he's serious about his singing.
Yeah.
And that's where the attraction comes in,
are
right?
Are the Germans laughing, or are they being genuine?
Laughing out of the bank.
Yeah, he's huge in Germany. All right, so this was a big movie. Lots of people looking good with their shirts off, but
32.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you got to be, but it was like professionally crafted. It was semi well done. It had celebrities in it.
Oh boy. That's not an endorsement. You realize every movie has celebrities in it.
Yeah.
Some movies now have celebrities in it. Okay, I'm going to say shit, because I like that number.
Yeah, it's a good number.
What was it, 32?
32.
I'm going 32-2.
Nice.
God damn it.
Welcome, Gina. Yeah.
All right. Well, I never saw it. I don't care for either of the stars of the movie's career, and yet I feel like people enjoyed this. I feel like if they would get like some ironic points like 21 Jump Street did. So I'm going to say barely rotten at 55.
Well, this is going to win. This is going to determine the game right here, because speaking of 21 Jump Street.
Oh,
21.
Shit.
21.
Baywatch is rotten at 17%.
Oh!
Fun game.
Fun out.
Oh, man. Should have gone low.
Boy, that was enjoyable.
Wow. You ready for some scores?
Yes.
Oh.
Jay, you delivered one of the worst performances in the Rotten Tomatoes game we have seen. Thank you. Your score should be a lot higher, but you're coming in at a respectable 116.
Oh, boy.
Oh, that is bad.
Okay. Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Gina Grad, congratulations. You made the podium.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Adam Carolla with 91.
That hurts.
Gina Grad, I got to tell you held the lead.
I did.
You held the lead until the last movie.
God damn you, Dwayne Johnson.
55, right?
Yeah.
And then the one who shall remain nameless swept it away from you. Gina Grad, you couldn't even hold on to second. You got third with 93.
Embarrassing.
And Bald Brian wins 63, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
55,
I don't know.
What a fun
game.
Those
guys are hot.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with GEICO. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use GEICO mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to GEICO. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Available now for pre-order, Adam's sixth book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything Reminds Me of Something, coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
All right, Gina, you going to do some news?
Let's do it.
Give me
the news with Grant. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff face on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Big news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So, are you like me, and have you ever cried at a doctor's appointment?
Yes.
Bald ass.
Touche. Well, apparently.
Hey, are you with me? Sorry, are you with me? I got my hand examined like a month and a half ago, and I have to get surgery on my hand, you know, coming up in a week. But I put my hand like down on the table. And this is as straight as I can get my fingers. And the guy went like, ugh. Like he made a fucking sound. Yeah. You can't make sounds when you're a doctor, right?
No.
Yeah, you keep that to yourself.
No. You can diagnose shit.
No.
Call a nurse in. But when I put my hand out, and he was like, oh, boy. Yeah. Not what we're looking for. And by the way, if my fucking hand was perfect, we wouldn't need you, douchebag. Not you, Jay.
Not me.
I'm saying...
I'm not an actual doctor.
You should be glad my hand is fucked up. Yeah.
That's right. Well, that's what happened to this one young woman who was reportedly charged for crying during her doctor's visit. So this reportedly happened to the sister of this big YouTuber, Camille Johnson, and she shared the itemized receipt on Twitter, so we know what happened. The bill showed that she had been charged $40 for brief emotional behavioral assessment.
I saw this.
Really?
Actually,
the grief
yes.
counselor had to come over and they charged her $40.
Actually, more expensive than the four tests and procedures she was there to get. Camille says her sister has this rare disease and felt frustrated and none of the treatments were working and like got a little emotional about it. She concluded in the tweet that...
Is this in United States?
Yeah.
Wow.
This is pretty common.
This is common?
I've been in the hospital many times getting infusions or whatever. You know, you're there for a couple of hours, and then the care worker comes by like, hi, and they just sit down. They're like, how are you feeling? It's like, good. I was listening to music. But like they charge like the hospital or insurance for coming over and like, you know, doing a wellness check or whatever. It's nice, I suppose, but it's kind of a racket.
Kind of. Okay, so I just got my boobs done. And, oh, I was going to wear a dress tonight, but it's too cold. It was going to be the debut.
Wait, Gina, explain to Jay what you mean.
A reduction.
Oh, okay.
I was going to wear a thong back, but it's too fucking cold out here.
I tried to get a little, but anyway. You roll in, like, on a gurney to the OR, and then they kind of like, put you on it. Oh, no, you walk your ass in there half naked. And I walked in, and it's all doctors and, like, bright lights and scalpels and shit. And I fucking lost it. And I thought since it was literally a room full of women, my plastic surgeon, my anesthesiologist, all the nurses, all women, someone would be like, they're there. They were embarrassed for me. They were kind of rolling their eyes a little bit. I didn't stop crying until I guess I was asleep.
I just stared upwards crying. While they were trying to find a vein, going. And then one of them, I swear to God, said, "Look, if you don't want to do this," I'm like, "I've come this far. I'm fucking naked. Like, just put me out."
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was that way with my.
Are you guys going to charge me $40 for telling us?
No, they charge you $40.
$40.
Behavioral assessment.
I feel like you could tip $40 at a good steak joint, though, yeah. Right? I mean, don't we?
Yeah, you rack up $200.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the tip for a breast reduction? It's got to be more than $40, right?
Oh, I mean, I'm still paying it.
They keep the tip.
Yeah, I don't get the
don't
tip
for that.
Non-tip. Like, I think we should tip everyone who works at Home Depot. Like, you go to Home Depot, you go in the line, the guys go up, he goes up the ladder, the A-frame ladder with the wheels on yeah. it. He gets the shit up off the top shelf. That guy gets jack squat, but the person that gets you the coconut milk latte, that guy gets 40%. I don't want to live in that world. I want a blue-collar tip world.
Well, I like your old... I like when you said we need to reverse the tip for the Waffle House waitress and the hot chick yes. at Jaya.
Yes. The fucking you guys ever eat at a Waffle House?
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to read the sign because they use just says Waffle House. But the point is, it's like five people eat there. It's $28, and she gets $4 worth of tip. She needs more than that. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Gina.
Well, let's move on. Brian, I don't mean to pick on you, but I'm going to offer a trigger warning first.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so in England, there's this electrician named Tony Finn. He sued his employer because they fired him.
This guy's a hero.
And one of his bosses called him bald. To be clear,
really?
The guy is bald. But a panel of three judges ended up ruling that this guy was a victim of sexual harassment.
Yes.
Someone at the company said something about his lack of hair, and because guys suffer more from baldness than women, the comment was sexual harassment in the workplace. I don't know.
Careful what you say, Adam. Careful what you say.
Look.
The guy won.
You know, okay, here's a thought. It just popped in my head. I've never had it before. It's not going to stop me from sharing. We keep talking about the automation, like fast food automation, like get the burger flippers. We don't need these people anymore. Like automate everything. But we always kind of talk about the hourly wage, right? Like, you know, pay this high schooler $14 an hour. Get the machine to flip the burgers and it'll whatever. But how about all just the fucking frivolous lawsuits? Like everyone suing fucking everyone over nothing. How about that as a motivation for the automation?
That machine's not going to sue you.
The fucking animatronic arm cannot fucking sue you. You can't fire. Like, if you're in California, you can't fucking fire anyone anymore. They will sue your ass. So how about just the frivolous lawsuit aspect of the automation? Like, we will figure it out so that, you know, self-driving cars and self-flipping hamburger patties and self-everything. But it's not just going to be the hourly wage. It's going to be the whole fucking class action and whatever lawsuit that comes from everything all the time. The whole thing about work, like I worked on a construction site. You had to verbally abuse your underlings. That was part of how it worked. I was called a glorified goomper. That was my title. You fucking goomper glorified. My foreman, Mike Stramat, when I was like 19, he goes, "Go to my truck and get the level out of it." And I was like, "All right." And I started to go to his truck and he goes, "Run." And I had to run to his fucking truck. Now, in 2022, I would sue his ass, right?
It's not too late.
But I was fucking scared shitless, so I just ran to this guy's truck and got his 4-foot level out of it. And the whole point is yes, people go like, well, he was out of line. I learned a lot. I learned how to fucking get along. I learned how to work. I learned who to steer clear of. I learned how to fucking keep my nose down and not get yelled at. These are all valuable life lessons that no one's fucking learning anymore. Because everyone's in this mode of like, you're not the boss of me. I'll sue your ass. I'm follically impaired. Fuck you with your bald shit.
Certain things make sense.
Right.
Certain arguments.
Right. Sorry, Gina.
I just like the visual of you trying to fire a robot and like, fuck you, I quit.
You didn't sear those patties correctly.
Fuck, 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 fuck you.
Watch your profanity.
You can't fire me. My dad's the boss.
Wait, what's the robot in your...
Oh, Johnny Five.
In Short Circuit 2?
Yeah, Short Circuit 2.
I refuse to see it. I refuse to see it.
Oh, it's a classic.
I guess so, but I didn't go.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Well, Jay, I would just love...
Wait, what about Short Circuit 1?
I didn't see that either.
That's with the goop, right?
No. It's the
Why?
Same robot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Didn't look good.
You got to support your people. Sorry.
Well, I would love Jay's 2 cents on this next story, so please, please give it to us. This couple in India are suing their son and daughter-in-law for not giving them grandchildren after 6 years of marriage. Sadhana and Sanjeev Prasad filed a petition this month seeking 50 million Indian rupees, that's like $650,000 in damages, from their 35-year-old son and 31-year-old daughter-in-law. CNN reports that in the petition, the couple claim they spent about 20 million rupees raising their son, who is an only child, and they want to see a return on that. This happens, apparently, in India. This is not the first time it comes up, and sometimes they win.
I just want to say this about India.
Careful.
We got some good things, too. We invented yoga.
Yeah.
A style of sitting.
Yep, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Tantric sex. Chess. Okay,
you
we have
chess.
Some frivolous lawsuits, okay?
Let me tell you something about yoga.
Go ahead.
No, there is no activity that is spoken about more and executed less.
Yes.
There's a lot of like, we should take that yoga class. Never going to happen.
Well, they all wear the pants and they
You're
don't
right.
do the thing.
Everything is like, you know what we should do Saturday? There's a hot yoga class. No, we're getting a fucking deep dish pizza and sitting at home.
What percentage of vacations when you're looking at the place like, oh, honey, they have yoga classes. Yoga on the beach.
Many a proclamation about yoga, rarely the execution of yoga.
I've been to a couple yoga classes, and usually the instructor will walk up to me and say, I don't know if this is going to be advanced enough for you.
Yeah. So it's in your blood. So you guys invented yoga?
Fuck yeah.
Come on, bro.
India, you guys are like, how can we fucking sweat our asses off without moving or going outdoors? I know.
Yeah.
We'll invent something called yoga.
Yeah.
I don't get the fucking yoga mat. Yoga mat is
we
like...
We didn't invent the mat.
Oh, you didn't do the mat. Okay,
the mat.
That's us.
We didn't do the pants.
It's 3/16 of an inch of fucking foam rubber. It doesn't stop any kind of impact whatsoever. No. Like, why isn't it thicker?
We do it right on the ground in India, right there.
Oh, you do it? Okay. Oh, who's the biggest... Is this the biggest douchebag on the planet, the guys who travel with the yoga mat? Like, I'm so into yoga... that I'm going to Phoenix. I don't know if they have yoga mats there. I'm not taking no chances.
It's always Arizona.
I bring my own yoga mat. So I'm traveling. It's rolled up. You're like Kane from Kung Fu.
Well, you never know when some yoga might break out.
That's right. That's right.
Right there by the Wetzel's Pretzels over there in the terminal at Burbank. Yeah, you never know. There may be some impromptu yoga breaking out. You're right. So you guys did yoga, tantric sex.
Chess. A style of sitting.
All right. And then the Kama Sutra.
Kama Sutra.
Yeah, that's good.
That's with the whole tantric sex, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good. Curry. You guys
delicious.
Come out.
Thank you.
Curry's pretty good.
We go yellow curry or red curry?
I think red. I don't know. I don't really have an opinion.
What the fuck? What are you doing here? What do we need you for?
I'm a B-plus Indian. I don't really have the whole...
I'd say B-minus. Sorry, Gina. Go ahead.
Well, sometimes karma, you have to wait another lifetime, and sometimes it is swift. Here's an example of the swift version. This 60-year-old dude in South Carolina who strangled his girlfriend to death suffered a heart attack and died while he was trying to bury her body in the backyard.
Wow.
Police in Trenton, South Carolina received a call from neighbors reporting an unconscious man in the yard. Officers arrived and found Joseph McKinnon's dead body near a freshly dug hole in the ground.
Jesus.
Inside the hole was his 65-year-old girlfriend, wrapped in trash bags. Neighbors told police they saw McKinnon digging in the yard earlier that day. An autopsy concluded that the woman died from strangulation and the man died from a heart attack. Investigators believe McKinnon was nearly done digging the grave when he put down the shovel and died.
So close.
You hear about graves, and you hear about shallow graves.
Right.
You don't hear about the medium grave.
No, you know what you hear about? Watery grave.
You hear about a watery grave. Yeah. You hear about a shallow grave. You hear about a grave. You don't hear about, like, that 42-inch grave.
Could be a good business opportunity.
Didn't want to commit to the 6-footer.
Yeah. Medium grave.
Yeah. Well... As I said, when I was doing a crank anchor spit once, and this goes to show, if you say something with enough gravitas, people will agree with you. I was talking to a woman on the phone when I was doing this crank anchor spit, and I said, "No son should have to bury a parent." And she went, "Yeah, I know. You're exactly right." But I think it was all in the inflection.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, every kid should bury their
parent. Right, that would be what they should do.
That's what they
should do. Dig a medium grave and stick their parent in there.
Medium grave.
Cover it up.
If you're going to kill somebody and bury them, don't do it in your own backyard, right?
Yeah. The more you know.
Yeah, you want to find a vacant lot for that. Were your parents born in
Yeah, they were born in South India.
No one knows where that is.
Just go to India and go south.
Right there, go south. Right there. And they came here when they were how old?
They were like 25 and 26.
And they're both like, dad was a lung specialist.
Lung disease and mom was radiologist.
So they're match made in heaven.
Yeah, they would talk about like... cases in like high-end medical... I mean, you could have no idea what they were saying.
Right.
But it was, you know, it was what they were talking about. You know,
Why are so many Indian folk doctors?
Well, I think the reality is this. In India, there's a lot of everything.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, there are a lot of doctors. There's a lot of everybody. But the ones in the 60s, there was a shortage of doctors here because a lot of them were in Vietnam.
Ah.
And so they brought some Indians over and some Koreans over and all that.
Oh, okay. Oh, did not know. All right, Gina, got one more?
I sure do. This is for you religious people out there. I really want you to listen up and take a note. There's a new limited edition hard seltzer that claims it is made with holy water.
Nice.
The makers of Sacred Seltzer say the product features 95% real holy water that was blessed according to the official Catholic procedure on March 31st, 2022 in L.A. County. The other 5% of Sacred Seltzer is alcohol, and it comes in 3 flavors, mango, cherry, and lime.
The large flavors.
The holy trinity of fruit.
I feel like if you got pulled over for a DUI
and
you had sacred holy water seltzer in you.
I like where this is going.
I was at a christening.
I like
you got a born-again cop. Like that could go somewhere, right?
That's right.
Not for nothing, but I was drinking a little... You want a little Eucharist there over here? Like a little body of Christ?
Yeah, something to wash it down?
Yeah.
At your Raymond hearing, you can argue religious liberty?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Drinking the holy water?
Where do we get this?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
At the bar.
SacredSeltzer.com, everybody. If you're listening, Sacred Seltzer, we'd love to sponsor you.
Do you guys feel like there's too many choices out there. Like, too many choices for booze, too many choices for cars, too many choices for cell phones, too many choices, like, on Amazon. Like, when I grew up, like, think about it. Like, your whole life is like, you want Budweiser or you want Schlitz? Or Miller. Like, yeah. that was kind of it.
It was Coke or Pepsi.
And then you want to drive a Ford, you want to drive a Chevy.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like this or that. You want to watch Channel 2 or you watch Channel 4? And then you'd be like, what happened to Channel 3? They'd be like, there is no Channel 3. Like,
never well, you mind.
Well, then I want to watch Channel 6. And they'd go, no, there's no 6. It goes 2, 4, 7. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were on even numbers here. No, no, we're going even odd. Oh, there's a 5. What's on 5? Mannix. Nothing. You don't want to watch that. But it's like 5 choices for almost everything, right? Like everything in life just had like 3 to 5 choices. And you're like, well, just we'll watch Channel 4. And that was it. We'll drink Budweiser and we'll drive a Chevy. And now there's 1,000 fucking things, every booze, every fucking hard seltzer. There's too many restaurants. When I was a kid, it's like, we're going to McDonald's. Nobody went, oh, what about Five Guys? No. It's just, we're going to McDonald's. That was it. There was no fucking controversy. There was no discussion.
It was McDonald's or the other McDonald's.
Yeah, we... Which McDonald's you want to go to? Yeah. Like, that was about it. Like, and you know what? We're fucking happier. Would you like tap water or hose water? Those were our choices. We got tap, hose, and toilet. Which would you like? Those were our fucking options. That was it. Now there's like 7,000. You sit down, you go to dinner, and they're like, would you like still water? Would you like sparkling? Or it's like, too many choices. And you know what? They say, I think I don't know what the statistics are, but I'll fuck it up. But it's like something like more than like 5 choices and everyone's miserable. So if you're buying a new TV set, you have 3 or 4 choices, you'll be happy with your decision. If there are 18 choices, you'll be miserable with your decision because you feel, well, okay, let's put it this way. What if it was just women? Hold on. Let's just say you had to pick a mate.
Okay.
Male or female.
Okay.
Or whatever Brian's into.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
Transformer.
And you had three women. There's 3 women there. You have a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead. Or black and Hispanic and, you
redhead.
Know, whatever. Redhead. Right. And so you'd go like, oh, yeah, I'll take her. Sheila, what's her name? Yeah, I'll take her. Yeah, I'm happy with her, right? But if you put out 26 women, I'd just be walking with a boner, like up and down, like, let me see your gums. Okay, I'm going to remember that. Let's go down to the end here. Spell encyclopedia. Is your mom fat? Where's your mom? She here? She died? Because she was fat? Or hold on, there's a mulatto chick in the middle. Want to know about you. Like, and then whoever you decided on, you'd be fucking miserable. 2 nights into the honeymoon, you'd be like, ah, fuck, what about that chick at the end? That's how we work.
Yeah.
She could spell encyclopedia.
She couldn't spell. I can't spell.
You know the difference.
I don't know, but how are our kids going to be able to spell now if we both can't spell? My point is too many choices. Too many.
Yeah.
Make you miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's the problem when you go out. You ever go to those places where you're going to eat, and they have like 37 different types of hot dogs.
Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's a fucking nightmare. You're like, oh, I just want the 3. Just give me the plain, the Chicago, and the chili dog.
You're never happier than an In-N-Out.
You're never. That's why we're all happy. Uh-huh. There's no, we just, they got the burger, we get the fries, put the chili on, whatever it is, we know what we got.
Number one, number two, number three. There you go.
That's how we're wired. And Madison Avenue thinks, oh, we want choices. We don't want choices. No. We just want the blonde, the brunette, and the redhead.
Double-double.
Do you know what the headline's going to be tomorrow? Hmm. Adam Carolla comes out as communist.
That's right. That's what I want. All right. Jay's going to pull some balls from the hopper. Paul Bryan and Gina Grad over there. Put your hands together. Jay, do you have any idea how to work that ping pong ball hopper?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, I've never worked one before, but I think it looks pretty easy.
Nobody's ever worked one before.
I think I'm just going to turn it.
Yeah, you go clockwise, and then, the ball fell out.
There you go.
All right, so we'll do
Have I done it too quickly?
No, it's good. Okay. Whatever the ball is.
NDA?
Non-disclosure agreement?
Yeah.
I don't like that we live in a society where you have to sign something that says, I'm not going to talk about all the horrible shit you did to me. Think about that. It's a piece of paper that says, could you imagine going back several thousand years? You get a piece of tree bark and a burnt stick, and you just say to your mate, like, I know I raped you in the cave. I know I killed that gazelle and didn't give you any of it. And, you know, maybe I had sex with your sister, but I need you to take this burnt stick and sign it on this piece of bark. The point is the NDA is sort of like the stepsister of the prenup, right? Mm-hmm. The fact, like, who wants to live in a society with prenups and NDAs?
No.
It's basically like here's a piece of paper you sign before we get married, and here's one that you sign after we get in a really shitty divorce that says we're not going to talk shit about each other.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was that story today with Elon Musk who offered a stewardess on one of his flights. He asked her for a hand job, and she said no, and he goes, I'll give you a horse if you give me a hand job. And she said no, and then he paid her and had her sign an NDA. But she told her friend, who didn't sign the NDA, and here we are.
If you guys flown privately, it's hard not to ask for a hand job. It's difficult.
Right.
It's I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just difficult. Because you're on a private plane and you're drinking. And the feeling, now you have to understand that we're so used to flying on commercial airlines, right? Southwest and, you know, Delta and whatever.
There's no hand jobs there.
No, there's just rules. It's just regulation, right? So when you fly commercially, you get up and it's a lot of like, sir, I'm going to need you to go ahead for me right now and go ahead and put seatbelt on for me right now. Go ahead right now. And there's a lot of, like, you go to the bathroom and someone's in the bathroom and you're standing there, like, sir, you can't stand in the galley. I need you to go ahead. When you fly privately, you get up and no one says shit.
No.
You get to do whatever the fuck you want.
Almost.
There's a bed. You can lie down in the bed. You fly privately, you get to go in the cockpit and, like, pop the door open and go, how's it going? And I swear to God, one of the guys will go, yeah, you want to come up and fly the plane for a minute? Like, that's how it is to fly privately. Yeah, go ahead and sit on that dude's lap. You can fly for 10 minutes or whatever. Right. What the fuck? Once you get used to that, then the hand job is not a bridge too far. I wouldn't fly Southwest to Phoenix and be like, hey, can I get a hand job? And have the guy's name be like Sean. Like, no, I'm sorry. I wouldn't do that.
Well, look, I get asking for the first hand job.
The first one, yeah.
But when she says no, I don't get offering a horse in exchange.
Yeah.
That's the part That's my red line.
He offered a horse.
I'll buy you a horse. Well, she was an equestrian. He knew that.
Oh, okay.
And he goes, I'll give you a horse. And
she goes,
still no. Still no handjob.
So, like, if she was into dirigibles, he'd be like, I'll get you the Goodyear blimp.
Yeah.
Just give me a handjob.
That's right.
I don't get the handjob. Do you, Jay?
Well, it's usually clumsily administered. So.
I get the blowjob.
Sure.
I can't give myself a blowjob.
Right.
But
you're famous for giving yourself good handjobs. Everybody knows that.
Nobody does it better than me.
Nobody.
But I'm saying that.
Nobody.
The handjob, I just feel like, step aside.
Yeah, you got
the seasoned veteran. Yeah, but the blowjob, that's a different thing.
It's another thing.
All right. What was the ball? Oh, NDA.
It was NDA.
All right, Dave. Throw it out in the audience. There you go. Is the NDA even good anymore when everyone just talks about it anyway?
Well, yeah, I mean, she told her friend, and then her friend told everybody, and then he's like, hey, what the fuck? I offered you a horse. Butt plug.
Butt plug. Okay, I remember, so this is a weird story, but... When I moved into my first apartment, we had a guy lived underneath us named Al. So this is like a 6-unit building. We're on the top. He was on the bottom. And some weird perv. Like, there used to be perverts. You guys, there's no perverts anymore. Everyone's a pervert now. Like, everyone's got the internet, and they're all fucking jacking off to God knows what. But there used to be weirdos and perverts.
Right.
Like, when I was growing up, the guy, oh, he's got his trench coat on. He's, like, exposing himself at the bus stop and whatever. It's like perverts.
Yeah.
When you have perverts, everyone's a perv now. Everyone's weird. Everyone's bent. Everyone's fucked up. But we had this guy move out of one of the units, and he was a pervert, old school pervert, and our guy who managed a building named Al brought us all the shit he collected from the pervert's apartment, and he brought a box, and butt plugs were in there. Now, here's the thing about it, but look, I'm not weird into germs. But you don't want a spent butt plug. You know, you don't want a soiled butt plug. But he brought it all into us. And I don't get the butt plug. Like, I don't get the digits. I don't get the, you know, stimulating. I don't get any of the butt plug. And I don't know, like, I don't know how you can maintain your heterosexuality and be into butt plugs. I've said it many times. My behymen is intact.
You're a virgin.
I'm a virgin. I've never had my behymen penetrated. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you.
No.
No? Okay. But the butt plug...
Liar!
The butt plug is exceedingly wide at the base. And it seems like too much. On the other hand, you know, women give birth.
Not out of there, though.
Right. Well, I'm going to check on that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. We'll do that. Okay. We'll Google that shit after the show. But
yeah.
Women are able to give birth to a, you know, human.
Without a plug.
Later. Without a plug. But I don't know how the butt works, but evidently it's a thing. I'm not down with it. And I also wonder if you can kind of wear it out.
Well, I think that's the purpose of the plug. Uh-huh. Speaking not as a non-expert, I think the elasticity gets worn out. And they pop a plug up there to keep everything kind of clean.
Oh, okay. All right.
Is that not true?
No, so it's for jogging.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Pull another one.
Okay, why not?
Sorry.
pansies.
Pansies. Pansy is what we would used to call gay, right?
Back in the old days.
Yeah, back in the old days. Like that guy's a pansy. I don't know what we have for gay anymore. We just have gay, right? Oh, he said faggot, but we can't say that into a microphone. We had a lot of stuff for gay. We're not allowed to use pansy.
There were all sorts of names for gay, but then you're not... I mean, we used to play the game Smear the Queer.
Right.
And it had nothing to do with being gay, but it was still named Smear the Queer.
What do you have in India for gay?
Well, I didn't grow up there. I don't know what they called. I don't know. I'm not sure.
They have gays there?
Gay.
Gay with a maybe. Indian accent?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, you can't say almost any of it anymore.
No, we had...
You can't even call a guy a cocksucker anymore.
Oh, really?
You can only call women cocksuckers, even though they mostly show no interest in the activity. Yeah. Can't call a guy a cocksucker.
Do you find that most women show no interest in that
generally,
activity?
After about a year, they're like, yeah, okay, that's enough of that. That's enough of that.
Well, I'm trying to think. Like, so nobody is born wanting to suck a cock. But there is, like, there are things we evolve into. You know what I mean? Like raw oysters or cigars, or there's certain things that aren't necessarily good, but we do them anyway.
Yes.
And so women, when it comes to blowjobs, is it about enjoying the blowjob? I don't think so. Or is it about the effect the blowjob has on the recipient? Like I've said many times, I don't perform oral.
No?
Right? No. But nobody receives like me. Nobody is a better recipient of a blowjob than me. And I think that alone could bring certain satisfaction to certain women, you know?
Just so I'm clear what you're saying. You believe that women are happy giving the blowjob because of how good you are at getting them?
Some. A select, proud, elite fighting force. A certain group like bringing pleasure.
Right.
Right?
Right. And it's definitely...
There's a certain amount of women who like bringing pleasure.
Yes.
And that's a point of pride.
Yes. Introduce me.
Well, some people, everyone likes a foot rub.
Yeah.
But then some people rub feet, and they like the reaction they get from the person whose foot they're rubbing.
Sure.
That's all.
But I like that you don't reciprocate.
No, but nobody receives like me.
Right.
I stand by it.
Okay.
All right. You want to pull another ball? So be it.
Huntington Beach.
Yeah. Huntington Beach. Well, look, this place is amazing. It's kind of nice, you know. So my take on the beach is this. I mean, it'll be a little philosophical, but here goes. So here's the thing. This country, we founded it by the pilgrims coming up on Plymouth Rock, you know? Stay with me.
I'm right here.
Okay. We got the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, right?
Right.
And they came here. So we set sail for the promise of the free, right? So we came here because we left the religious oppression, and we set sail for the United States, and here we landed, right? So in the beach, kind of, in this culture, in this country, it represents freedom. So I know this sounds bizarre, but really think about it. Like, when you go to the beach, you go like, oh, I'm fucking free. Like, I can fart as much as I want. No one will ever fucking accuse me of farting. I can go out into the ocean and take a piss. Like, it is freedom. Like,
this
the
is,
beach.
This is all from the first pilgrim's letter home.
That's right. It is freedom. And people came here. They came to the shores. Like, they came to the shores. They landed on the beach. It was freedom. And that's how it was for a million years. And then we decided that we started having to post up. We had to post warnings on the beach, like no fires on the beach, no dogs on the beach, no fireworks on the beach, no smoking on the beach, no alcohol on the beach. And if you think about the what the fuck you can't do on the beach signs, it just got longer every goddamn year. In 1955, it was like no killing hobos on the beach. That's what the sign said. No raping gypsies. That's all the fucking sign. You can't take your 55 Bel Air and do donuts on the beach. That was all it said. Think about the beach signs today. The beach fucking signs today is like no frisbee, no throwing the football, no fires, no smoking, no alcohol, no dogs, no fucking fun on the beach. Every year, if you charted this country and the freedoms we have in this country and the freedoms we're taking away from the citizens in this country, it would all be found on the fucking beach sign and what you could and couldn't do on the beach. You could just go all the way down. And here's the thing about the beach sign. They never take anything off it. They add it. Every fucking year, they just add something. It's like parking in West Hollywood. There's never any, hey, do your own thing. There's like, no, no, there's another permit. There's another reason why you can't park here. That's all it is. So if you think about the beach represents freedom. It represents this country. It represents all that's best about this country. And the fucking beach sign is
HR.
It's no, the beach sign is it is Hitler. Over officious fucking people who want to tell you what the fuck to do with your life. It represents government. So the beach is freedom, the sign is government. Who the fuck is winning? Because what I'm saying is that fucking sign gets longer every goddamn year. And what we need to do is we need to step up is the freedom people who want to go to the fucking beach and crack a beer and smoke a cigarette and let our goddamn dogs run around and reclaim what is ours. Who's fucking beach? By the way, do these politicians own the beach? You think fucking Gavin Newsom or Garcetti? You don't fucking own the beach, you fucking retards. That's our fucking beach. Why are we listening to your ass about what goes on the fucking beach? I say we all get naked and fuck on the beach right now with a sparkler coming out of our assholes.
You got another ball.
That's powerful,
Jay. Pretty good.
One more ball. I don't know how we do better, but we'll do one more ball.
Puppy.
Everyone loves puppies. I used to love puppies. Everyone loves puppies until they get a puppy. I got. If you had a puppy?
I had a puppy.
I had a German Shepherd puppy. I had a Labrador puppy.
Yeah.
I would say, and I'm not using hyperbole here. Would you rather stay home and take care of 1 6-month-old German Shepherd puppy or 4 adult special needs people? I'm not saying three.
It's kind of a no-win situation for me.
But
right?
I'm saying four.
Four.
I'm telling you the fucking puppies more work.
Okay. Oh, really?
More work.
Okay, I was going to go with the people, but I'll okay. Okay.
Oh, if you want to be that way. I had a German Shepherd puppy, 6 months. Good. Named it after my grandfather who died, and then the fucking puppy died. I had a. You ever do this thing with a puppy, where you just go like at a certain point you go fuck it, I'm putting it in the bathroom, I'm putting paper down, and we're gonna see a movie.
I don't recall ever doing that.
Well, don't be a one-upper. What about your groundlings training, Jay? Come on. Yes, and.
Oh, yeah.
The point is I had a fucking Labrador puppy. Now he's an adult. But, I mean, it's kind of funny because my dog, Phil, Labrador, 110 pounds now, he went from. So here's what puppies do. Puppies are, you know, you think they're just like footloose and fancy free. Like, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, they know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Here's how you know they know what they're doing. They never chew both shoes. Uh-huh. They chew one loafer, and then they move on to the next set of shoes. Uh-huh.
It's insidious.
Right. So the point is, your pair is ruined because they destroyed the fucking right loafer. Yeah. Like, you never go, no, he just fucked up my right loafer. I'll just put my left loafer on and walk in a circle.
Yeah. And they're like, that's what you get for locking me in the bathroom.
Right. That's what you get. They chew one fucking shoe, and then they move on to the next pair.
Right. That's right.
And then they chew up the fucking pump, or they chew up the tennis shoe, or they chew up the flip-flop. But you could put two flip-flops out. And they would chew one, and then you'd go, good, you fucking destroyed my flip. Now, do the other one. They go, no, bitch. I'm moving on to the ironically named Hush Puppies and chewing the next one up. Uh-huh. They don't do the second one.
No.
So when you have a fucking puppy, at a certain point, you end up with 13 shoes, none of which match, because they did one. And I'm saying statistically, that's impossible unless they're diabolical and they know what they're doing. Would you agree with that?
I'm going to revise my answer. I'm going to take care of the special needs people. Then.
Right. Because what I'm saying is, Jay.
Yeah.
You like hot wings.
Sure. Who doesn't?
If there's a basket of hot wings over here and a basket of hot wings over here, you would eat the basket of hot wings and then you would move on to the next basket of hot wings. You wouldn't eat the basket of hot wings and then forego the other basket of hot wings and go, I'm going to chew on this flip-flop.
That's true.
It's true, right?
I eat all the wings.
You eat all the wings.
Yeah.
The beauty of you
up
people.
Up to a point. But yeah.
All right. Should we say goodnight to the crowd tonight? I want to give a plug. Sorry, Jay. Jay, what should we plug you for? When's the movie coming out? Sorry.
Give me a butt plug. movie Easter Sunday comes out August 5th. Thank you.
With Joe Coy.
I mean, I'm in
it too. Joe Coy. Oh, you were in it?
Yeah, I put myself in it. I wrote myself a part and put myself in it.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. You directed yourself?
That's right.
All right. So that's coming out then. Any other plugs that I'm missing over
I'll
here?
I'll come on your other show. We'll talk about it.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Keep it close to the vest. All right. Jay Chandrasekhar, baby.
Thank you. That was fun.
That was fun. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Jay and Bald and Gina saying mahalo.
You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see the Ace Man at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal when it comes to great rates on insurance for everything? GEICO can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.